Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and the Keystone Sports app. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We are breaking down Penn State's big road win over Iowa. Hawkeyes defense was a bit of an issue in that game, but probably not as big of an issue as the officiating crew was. So we'll get into all the odds and ends in that game. There's a lot to talk about. Penn State, though, 6-0 now. So we'll break down the game. We'll also hear from James Franklin after the game, who, you know, his no comment on the officials included a couple little subtle jabs at them, which I could definitely appreciate that. So 17-12 Penn State wins. I think, Greg, you know, as a coach, I'm sure you want the game plan to be perfect. You want the execution to be perfect. You want your guys to come out in a road environment, totally cool and calm, get off to a fast start. That's the ideal scenario. But I think deep down, you know, a guy like James Franklin probably really appreciates a game like this because there's a real gut check element to it.
Yeah.
And you don't know about the gut check until you get one on the road. Kinnick Stadium is a hard place to play. Anybody will tell you that. So the fact that it was quite imperfect, you know, the offense needed some time to get going. They fought this uphill battle against the officials. You know, I think when the dust settles here, this is a real net positive, obviously for the win, but for the other stuff too.
So my big takeaway is that they had two chunk plays, and they didn't really have any outside of the 22-yard KJ Hamler touchdown that meets the program's definition for explosive plays. So we were talking about this a little bit off the air, but Penn State would have lost this game, I think, last year. And I think they would have lost it 2 years ago, 3 years ago as well, because they didn't have that element of, okay, Iowa goes and scores. They kick the ball back to Penn State with 2:45 to play-ish. So in that ballpark, a little under 3 minutes, a little more than 2 minutes is how we'll couch it. But, you know, Penn State didn't have that element where they could go out and say, okay, we're going to get a first down, and then we're going to do whatever we have to do after that to win this game, and we're not going to give the ball back. Were there times that they did execute in those 4 and 2 minute offense situations? Yeah. And could this be a flash in the pan too? Sure. But I don't think it is. I mean, it was not a coincidence that the offensive line's best series and Noah Kane's biggest runs came when Penn State needed them the most. I just think this team is a little bit different mentality in that regard to say, okay, we need to move these guys for, you know, essentially 15 yards over the next 6-7 plays. And they found a way to do it. He had a tremendous effort run to get the first down to seal the game. And, you know, if you're going to go on and do the things they want to do, which is, of course, play for the conference title, beat Ohio State on the road before that, maybe make the college football playoff, you better believe there's going to be games where teams take away their explosive plays and they have to grind one out. And they certainly did that in a place where not many teams are capable of grinding out a game. They basically beat Iowa by doing what Iowa wanted to do.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly right when it comes to the chunk play thing. It's something that Penn State obviously wants to do. Every team wants to do that, but it's been a real focal point for Penn State all year. But that just happens to run right into what Iowa wants to do defensively, is give you all the short stuff and make you go 15 plays down the field if you want to get in the end zone.
Right.
I don't know. What was it? Their drive was 13 or 15 plays. They had a scoring drive that was just like that.
Yep.
Which I thought was a real check mark in the right column. So they, you know, Penn State had fewer first downs than Iowa in this game. They rushed it 53 times to 24 pass plays. They averaged 3.3 yards per rush. The numbers seem to back up what you saw when you watched the game, is that Penn State, you know, had it required quite a bit of patience against this Iowa team to win. And, you know, the offense didn't get off to a very promising start. Let's put it that way. Everybody was wired. Everybody was amped up. There were balls dropped. Sean Clifford had very antsy feet. So that was one thing. And I guess in hindsight, you probably shouldn't have been surprised by that.
No.
You know, Penn State being on the road like
right.
that. I think you need to get some of these games under your belt before you kind of find that sense of calm.
Yeah, I guess the only thing that worries you a little bit is that it felt, you know, it seems like this happens too often. And I know it didn't happen in the Maryland game. But, you know, at first it was, well, Sean Clifford was too amped up because it was his first start. And then against Pittsburgh, where it wasn't quite as bad, but it was, you know, he's maybe a little bit amped up because of this matchup. And, you know, I think at some point it's on the coaches to figure out, like, hey, what do we have to do to make sure that the Maryland version of this guy comes out there in every first quarter? And there's no happy feet. There's no sailed throws. There's no missed receivers. I mean, I think the one concern at this point with some of the, what he's doing is that it feels like he locks on to a guy pre-snap. And if that's not there, there's not always a great recognition of what is there. And if Penn State is going to continue to do it, of course it's going to continue to do what it says its plan is, which is to take what the defense gives it. Well, its quarterback needs to, you know, recognize, you know, what it is giving it a little bit more. But I think that's probably being a little overly critical of his game, which certainly wasn't his best. But it was, I mean, he did not turn the ball over. And look, again, I don't want to undersell what it means to go to Kinnick and win a game like that. I mean, that place, you can get a feel for it on TV, but unless you're there, it's hard to really grasp just how close the fans are, just how loud the noise is from, you know, 66,000 people or whatever the crowd was. I mean, I know it's not 107,000, but just the uniqueness of that place makes it really challenging for road teams to come in and get done what Penn State did. So, yeah, a good win, no doubt about it. And it, now you, you know, you parlay that if you're Penn State into what you would hope would be success against Michigan.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're breaking down Penn State, Iowa, as Greg just mentioned, Michigan coming up this weekend, whiteout, game day, huge weekend. If you're interested in going up, our friends at GoPSURV.com still have some RVs available. The way it works is you can show up there on Friday. You can stay through Sunday. They have a bunch of different RV options, some luxurious RVs to stay, an alternative means to stay there. But the real perk, we call it the ultimate tailgating experience, because you don't have to stop tailgating at all the entire weekend. You get a ride to and from the stadium. You know, all that stuff is worked out for you, so all you have to do is focus on having a good time. And who doesn't want to do that? So right. GoPSURV.com. There is still some availability for Michigan. You can check it all out there. GoPSURV.com. We got to mention the officiating in this game. There's one big one, but I don't know what your tally is. I can't really think offhand, but there were probably a good solid four head scratchers that went against Penn State. And as I mentioned, I think James Franklin, we'll hear from him later in the show about this, but he basically said, you know, one of the least penalized teams in the country comes in here, and this is what happened. I don't think they played to the number of penalties they got. You know, I thought obviously the Pat Freiermuth touchdown, that's a touchdown on the board. Replay shows nothing to overturn it. They're to be able to justify that, and fortunately for them, they don't have to face questions about that. They don't have to justify it. James Franklin can't say anything about it, or else he gets fined. Nobody can do anything except sit back and watch John O'Neill do what he does. This is the same guy, you know, the Ohio State fake interception, the Matt Lehman touchdown. How this guy still has a job. Like, I don't really look for reasons to rip officials, because these are guys just in general trying to do their jobs, and it's a very hard job. The best case scenario for John O'Neill and his crew is that they're completely inept. That's the best case scenario. The worst case scenario, and I don't blame Penn State fans for thinking there's some kind of nefarious reason. Like, for one team to get the short end from the same crew as often as they have, including a pretty flagrant misuse of replay, there's no way you can look at that and say that's conclusive one way or the other. To be able to overturn that is a joke. I thought, you know, John Reed got hit with a ticky-tack hold. I thought Rashid Walker got hit with a ticky-tack hold. Like, there were probably at least four or five more cases, Greg, where these guys just got it completely wrong.
So the John Reed hold, we never saw a replay of. I didn't see it live, or I don't believe we saw a replay of it, if I'm not mistaken. If they ever played it, I missed it. I know for a fact they didn't play it right after the flag. I was watching Robert Windsor eat Nate Stanley for lunch and didn't really even realize there was a flag downfield until I saw the conference of the officials, and I thought maybe they were going to call, you know, some kind of roughing the quarterback or, you know, something, what they call on, you know, what they call on players who tackle quarterbacks in 2019. And then I realized it was defensive holding. And
it's like in a case like that with a flag down with these officials, it's like a slot machine. You pull it and just wait to see what shows.
You're either going fishing or you're not, but you're going to find out one way or the other. So I did think the two holds were legitimate that called back to touchdowns after the Freiermuth overturn, which I'm right on board with you. The reversal was the reversal was just brutal. I mean, there's no other word to use.
Frankly, it's a disgrace.
Yeah.
You know, it's a disgrace to that uniform for those guys to do what they did.
Yeah. And what frustrates me is, and we'll get to this either a little bit later in the week or a little bit later today, but, you know, we tried to get it. The game of the replay official and or the game official to talk after the game. It's called a pull report, and they would not make them available because the people in Iowa were great about it, but it's a judgment call, and therefore the Big Ten will not discuss judgment calls. Well, everything's a judgment call.
Right.
I mean, so are you not? So I guess the obnoxious thing to me is Bill Carollo, the head of Big Ten officials, sits at the Big Ten Media Days in Chicago every July, and he will sit there and talk and talk and talk. I think his podium session went for darn close to 30 minutes, and then he did breakout interviews with reporters for like 2 hours, mostly on targeting and just other officiating things. The guy clearly is fine talking. He's more than welcome to chat with the media in Chicago. So
on his terms.
Yeah, but to, you know, to hide and to not be the face of calls like this is just pathetic, quite frankly. I mean, there's to not come out and say, yeah, we screwed this one up. It just it gives people reason to, you know, as you mentioned, nefarious things and tinfoil hat conspiracies and all that. It gives legs to them because the Big Ten doesn't come out and say, yeah, you know, we messed this up. We look, you know, our replay official and our head official did not follow. If you go on the Big Ten website, I know it's getting a little bit of a ramble here, but if you go on the website of the Big Ten, they have a page that lists the replay reviews from when they were implemented in 2004. They haven't changed except to add for targeting and you know, the coach can call a timeout to have a play reviewed. But other than that, the big bold letters say clear, indisputable visual evidence. And there's no way that Tom Kissinger, the replay official, and John O'Neill, the head official, had that on Pat Freiermuth's touchdown to overturn it.
Well, it just brings into question, you know, everybody's going to complain about replay, but it's designed to negate human error. This one created a human error. And I guess I'll just never understand it. We'll never get an explanation how he can see what he saw and overturn that. There was a good thing, you know, overturning Shaka Toney's targeting call. I didn't think that was going to happen either. Nevertheless, we're going to move on. We're going to talk about Penn State's defense and offense coming up right after this.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.